Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, but Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Thank you, Bethany. And I'm going to carry on reading, still in chapter 5, verse 16. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. You see, not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of man." Jesus continued, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose to enjoy his light for a time. I have testimony, says Jesus, weightier than John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? We're going to sing another song, At Your Name, and then we're going to look at chapter 6 as well. And, I'm thinking, what are we going to do this week? Beginning of the summer holiday season. As I said in my letter, the sun is shining, except it isn't. So my mind's going, though, to summer things. So, I found some passages where we've got a pool. We've already read about the pool, right? There's a picnic coming up and a boat ride also. So, the question is this the perfect holiday or is it the perfect storm? Because think back in the life of Jesus. I mean, when you read the stories, the shepherd and the sheep walking by Galilee, the fresh fish and so on, and it was none of this genetically modified stuff. It was fresh, it was organic and so on and so on. Aren't you tempted to think, wow, I'd love to have been by the lake, Galilee, and so on and so on. And it was perfect. What was perfect? I'm sure the scenery was perfect. Maybe perfect holiday, but actually the events are moving forward. And in a sense, the perfect storm also. In fact, the boat ride, there's a storm even in the boat ride story, isn't there? But there's opposition. And there's difficult teaching. And whenever there's difficult teaching, people begin to say, you know what? I thought it was going to be a holiday. It's not turning out like I thought. I think maybe I'll just give up. Maybe I'll take my holiday someplace else. So we're going to read on. I'm going to invite John, please, to come and do the picnic reading.
John 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Thank you, John. So much in that last verse, yeah? Verse 15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force. Knowing that, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself because that was not the plan. Our God did not want to do anything by force when Jesus was on earth. And he doesn't force people now. He says, Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I'll give you rest. He says, If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow within them. That's grace. And grace is not being forced to do anything. But as you know, when you look at dictators around the world, when you get people to do things by force, seemingly you can get much bigger results. But then their hearts are not with you. You see, our God is calling people. He wants their hearts, yeah? So Jesus withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's have the boat ride now as well, please, Cyril. Thank you. You're coming up. Take your time, my friend.
John 6:16-24. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, It is I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus.
Thank you, Cyril. And I'm going to carry on reading this chapter from verse 25. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? There's a lot in these questions where Jesus is asked a question and he answers a different question, because he doesn't answer that question. He says, Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Many times around our world and throughout the history of the church, churches, including ourselves, have put on events where we welcome people, we want them to hear the gospel, and we provide food as well. And many times people eat the food but don't accept the gospel. Interesting, because we could criticize ourselves and say, well, in that case, that's a waste. We shouldn't do it. But actually, you know, well, even Jesus is saying, you know what, I gave you a picnic, but most of you have just come back for another picnic, not because you really embraced the word of God. Just an interesting little side point there. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? I used to live in a flat in Romania, and opposite me, walk up the stairwell, second floor, there was my front door, and just literally there was the front door of my neighbour, elderly lady, and she was a devout follower of the Orthodox church in Romania, and she did all kinds of works because she was hoping to redeem the soul of her dead husband. So she was constantly going to the cemetery and making certain kinds of food and lighting candles and so on. Poor woman exhausted herself doing all these works to get salvation for someone she loved who had passed away. The people asked Jesus, what must we do the works that that God requires? Interesting, note in his answer, Jesus doesn't talk about making special kinds of food for dead people or difficult kind of works or lighting candles or making the sign of the cross, anything like this. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now let me ask you a question. Which is easier? To do all the works that my neighbor used to do, the special food and the special rituals and so on and so on, or believing? Which is easier? I can't hear you. Which is easier? Believing? Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But actually, I think that human nature is we would rather do a ritual than actually believe. And this is the thing, my friends. It's about faith. You know? You say to someone, yeah, do this and 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 this, and God might look on you with favor, and they say they'll do it. If you say believe in Jesus, it's too easy, it's too simple, there must be a catch. It can't be. And that, my friends, is what we're up against when we say we want to reach out to our community. Because we're actually offering something which human nature says can't be true. There's no such thing as a free lunch. But Jesus just did free lunch for 5,000 people. You know? If it doesn't cost you anything, it can't be worth anything. You get what you pay for. That's what we're up against. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give us that we may see and believe it? What will you do? Guys, they've just been fed 5,000 people and now they're asking for a miraculous sign. They're having a laugh, isn't it? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives light to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Clearly, if Jesus had come to do his own will, he would not have gone to the cross, right? And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? And Jesus in verse 43 said to them, stop grumbling among yourselves. Because that's one of the things, if people don't understand, human nature is to grumble. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learn from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. See the difference? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors, they ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And that, my friends, is the blessing and the problem of the gospel. It's a hard teaching. And those who accept it enter into life, but many reject it. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Maybe there are churches that try to make the gospel inoffensive. But actually the true gospel is offensive to the sinful nature. Because the gospel is saying to a world that's far from God, you're in error. Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And look at this verse now, 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It wasn't just the world that was rejecting Jesus. Even his own disciples, his followers, who had loved being there for the good times, you know, seeing the miracles at the pool and the picnic and so on, they began to turn back. And verse 67, Jesus then asked the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Please just look back with me to chapter 5 and verse 39. Chapter 5 and verse 39. Here's an interesting thing. Jesus speaking to the Jewish leaders, the religious ones who had all the books. They had a study and they read all their books. And this is what Jesus says to them. "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." It might come as a surprise or a shock because we love, when we eventually get to talk to people about the Lord, we love to quote scripture, and we should, and we could, and we must. But we've got to understand that you can be soaked in scripture and still reject Jesus. Do you get that? You know, they've been immersed in the scripture. They've been binge watching scripture. They've had the box set scripture. You know, they've had it. They've read it. But they've rejected the very one who is spoken about in scripture, Jesus. And if you then look with me in chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." We're going to be doing communion in just a moment. You understand bread, right? "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." Someone might say, if only Jesus could come to our meeting on a Sunday morning or when we want to do something out in the square, meeting people and so on. If only Jesus could come. And Jesus saying, you've met me. You've seen me. You've got all this history of scripture. Now you've seen me and still you don't believe. Let's have a look at verse 44 because this sheds some light. And maybe this should be a pointer for us as we in our hearts saying, God, what can we do moving forward? Verse 44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up on the last day." Do you get that? Even Jesus is saying, unless God the Father draws people, even Jesus, who is the most accomplished, the most amazing preacher, teacher, all those wonderful stories he tells, you know? But if God the Father doesn't draw people, Jesus is saying, even I can't do anything. So I suggest, as we start thinking about the people we want to see come to know the Lord, let's be praying simple prayers. Lord, would you draw this person to yourself? You know, so often when we do pray, you know, people say things like, "Oh Lord, you know, I want to pray for Bob and for Judy." And I know that, they have been to some of the events at the church occasionally and so on. And actually, you know, I mean, they're very nice people, Lord. And you know, they're always very, very helpful as well, you know, and so on. And Lord, and it's like, is that what the scripture is telling us? Why don't we just be praying, Lord, God, would you draw Bob and Judy to yourself? Amen. I suggest that we start praying for people, short, simple prayers, but pray regularly and often for them. Verse 53, just have a quick look at that one. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We've all heard the expression, you know, I don't need charity. Have you heard that expression? I don't need charity. I don't want to be considered a charity case. Our God's saying, unless you receive charity, that means love, unless you receive charity from me, unless you receive the bread, the wine, my body, my blood, you have no life in you. And then verse 66, many of the disciples, they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And Jesus then in verse 65 says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. Almost the same words in verse 43 and 65. 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And in 65, unless the Father has enabled them. We've got to be crying out to God, say, will you draw these people? Will you enable them? Because faith isn't something that we can muster up. We can't create faith in people. We can share scripture with them. We can reach out to them. We can love them. We can be good neighbors, family members, and so on and so on. Another alternative is just to give up and just leave. From this time on, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The letter that I sent out on behalf of the elders on Friday, the classic line about the sunshine, the last part of it, we wrote this. Many of us are longing for God to touch people in our community. We long for local people to come to know Jesus. In John 6:44, the very passage we're looking at today, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. So by way of application, we've said, let's continue to pray for the people around us. Let's pray simply and often that God will draw them to himself. And then we've written here, with this in mind, we are also keen to continue our relationship with the local care home and to reestablish links with our local schools. And regarding the schools, there are a number of possibilities, including school assemblies, lessons, clubs, and other projects. We had some good conversations at the Great Holland School Fair recently. Please pray for God to open the right doors. This is the thing. Please pray for God to open the doors and for us to have the courage to walk through them. No one can come to me unless the Father draws them. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this gospel that can be received only by grace, only through faith. And even the faith to believe is a gift that comes from you. Lord, we pray, give us the gift of faith. Give us a greater gift of faith for ourselves and for our world that needs a Savior. Thank you, Lord. Amen.